What's up, suitors? Welcome back to Suits Talk, Season 4, Episode 9 edition. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm joined by Nick, whose hair is not really swoopy, it's just spiky. What's up, buddy?
I'm actually not feeling too good tonight. That scene with Lewis was pretty sad. We'll get to that in a second.
You just had to jump right into Suits. I was just asking you how you were. I just wanted to know how you were.
I'm good. I'm good. But Suits, man, this week was...
Well, okay, then I guess I'll go ahead and ask you, what'd you think of the episode, man?
8.5.
8.5. Why?
Well, the scene with Lewis at the end was great. I love the voiceover. I don't think we've seen a lot of voiceover work in the show. We had that, and if he really is gone, I think he is. But if he really is, it was a great departure for him, I think. But we can talk a lot more about what happened, why it was good. But let's hear from me. What do you think of it?
I'm going to give it an 8. Solid 8.
So we think it's about the same. It's not too good, but it's not too bad. It's just...
Well, I think that the episode was kind of... Like, it was really... The main plot for the story was excellent. But I just feel like... I don't know. It went by really fast, and nothing really happened in the episode on anything except for the main plot. Which, I mean, I do like the plot to develop, but I just feel like we don't really have any arcs to talk about in this episode at all, except for Lewis.
How you feel about Lewis.
Lewis and the investigation with the SEC. That's pretty much all we've got. I mean, there was a few little tidbits with Mike and Rachel, but really it was the investigation. Which, if you think about it, that's kind of good because it makes it easy for us to talk about the show because we have less discussion points. But, I mean, I've actually got probably more notes than I've ever had before.
I did too, and I don't take notes. For those viewers that know, Aaron points out almost on a weekly basis that I don't take notes. And I got a new tablet, and I decided I'm going to take some notes, and I wrote like a few lines. But
yeah. I looked over.
It cramps my style when I write notes, really.
I looked over like halfway into the episode, and I was like, what are you doing? And I looked down, and he's taking notes. He's got like 2 lines. I'm already on like my 45th line.
I'm just not a note taker.
2 lines.
Well, I think we got a lot to talk about. Not 40 minutes worth, hopefully. I want this to be another short one around the same time as last. So... First things first, let's get into the first thing that we want to talk about, which is...
Mike and Rachel. There was a couple little things that they had. I mean, let's see. At the beginning, we saw Rachel, like, spoiling Mike a lot at the house. Like, got him his favorite burritos or whatever.
It's kind of annoying because she was, like, trying really hard to be like, hey, forgive me. Hey, forgive me. Hey, forgive me.
Well, he, like, already forgave her, and she still try hard. I mean, whatever. Get weighted on hand and foot.
I know, right?
And I could really go for a burrito right now.
Dude, that Chipotle we had, though.
Okay.
Anyways, Mike and Rachel.
Chipotle podcast time. Okay, anyways, yeah, so there was that. Nothing really happened there. They just kind of talked about food, and she basically just loved on him. And then later... Once we found out that Sean Cahill might depose Rachel, Harvey told Mike that he wanted Mike to prep Rachel for the deposition. And Mike was very against it because of how rocky they are. But they did it anyway, and Mike pretty much lost it when they were practicing and just went off on her.
Predictable but effective is my only comment about that.
Well, it was just...
I saw what was coming. When he said that, I was like, I know he's going to get personal, and I know he's going to play it off as, I'm just trying to prep you. But I think they did really well with that acting. I know I made a little comment about Mike's acting, how it's kind of the same in every dramatic scene, but I bought it. I thought it was really good.
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, I know it's a drama, but I think it's a legitimate thing that Mike really just isn't an emotional guy. There's plenty of guys out there who aren't emotional, so... And besides, he was just screaming at her, which was pretty freaking emotional. So I don't want to hear it, buddy.
My whole thing with acting and stories in general is just, if I buy it, I'm for it. So I bought this. I thought it was great. So I'm going with it now. I think it works really well for them, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and also I thought this was the second best scene in the episode. Second to Lewis leaving. I mean, I thought it was a really good scene. It really showed the chemistry between them. And I just really liked it. That's all I really have to say about that, to quote Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good scene. Something I noticed about it Aaron's cinematography crap.
Yes! Finally! The sound bite for me is gone. I mean, I'm freed. No. Buy suits talk. Peace out. It's been real, y'all.
No, I mean, it wasn't like cinematography, really. It was just at the end when, like, after Mike was finished Bunsen burner blowtorching her, and he just, like, sits down, it, like, pans to her, and she starts, like, giving her apology that he pretty much hasn't let her give since she mouth banged Logan.
It makes it sound like they did the wrong kind of thing when you say that.
Well, anyways.
You mean they kissed.
Like, he has not really given her a chance to talk at all since that happened. So he finally was just like sitting in a chair. It didn't even show him really. And she just talked for like 30 seconds straight. And they have this like sad piano music. And I'm just sitting here like, what the hell? It's like, and she's just like, I love you so much, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, man, that's some weird stuff going on there. Some weird cinematography stuff. Since we're already on the subject of Aaron's, you know, my stuff, I'm going to go ahead and do my other thing, which is Aaron's clothing crap.
Not as nice as Nick's cinematography.
Whatever.
I think that's a nice ring to it. Nick's cinematography crap.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, I noticed in this episode there was a lot of jackets off, sleeves up. We even saw Lewis like that.
I've never seen, except for those scenes where he's mudding, I've never seen him without a suit, really.
Yep. So, it was just, well, yeah. So it was odd to me that there was a lot of that. It was the stress of all the characters was evident in their clothing. I just wanted to point that out.
I'm really tempted to talk about Lewis now, but we need to wait till the end.
Well, we're about to get there.
It isn't our way to hook you and have to hear our whole podcast just to hear the good stuff, but we just want to get to the other stuff first, I guess, really.
I mean, that pretty much is everything. All that's left. All that's left is the investigation. And
well, first I want to talk about Jessica, because I think we had the same kind of revelation. I don't know if I want to call it a revelation, but we both kind of agreed that she's just kind of a mean person. And it's in the scene with Donna and her in the bathroom. Yeah. And we're just like, man, she's really, I mean, at the root of it, she really is playing favorites to a degree. She gives Harvey all these breaks. She gives Jeff all these breaks and Donna, but not Lewis. You know, there's just something she has against Lewis. And I mean, it's kind of hard to see because he's really trying to fix it and he did make a mistake. And we just kind of both talked about briefly how she's just kind of mean, you know, and we don't really like her anymore.
Well, I told you that I'm pretty sure it was a bold prediction, not in the beginning, but earlier this season, that I think we will see Jessica leave the firm. And so this week, there was a teaser or something on Twitter or Facebook that it was like the episode's called Gone, and there was a picture of Jessica sitting in a chair and it had Gone at the top, and I was just like, this is it, finally my prediction is right. And obviously that was wrong, but
which, to their defense, they did kind of tell us what was going to happen, because Jessica did fire Lewis, so she did make him gone, so to speak.
Jessica didn't fire Lewis.
Okay, well, but you know what I mean, she ordered the firing. He quit. My bad. Sorry.
He resigned.
Okay. But you know what I mean.
Well, I'm a little sad because I feel like this crushes any hopes we had.
Spectre lit.
No, I don't care about that.
We've been going on about Spectre lit.
You've been going on about
Spectre lit. You said it a few weeks ago.
I said last week that I thought it could be possible.
Well. Yeah, Pearson, Spectre, Ross, Zane, lit.
Zane. No, but I just, I'm at the point where I'm kind of over Jessica. She just doesn't do anything except spoil the fun of all the other characters. But now they can't get rid of her because, like, if they get rid of her, then they have to get rid of Jeff. And if they get rid of Jeff and her, then the only characters we have left are Mike, Harvey, and Donna, and Rachel. So, because we just lost Lewis. So, unless they add more characters, I mean, bring Amy back. Then we
haven't seen Amy, have we, Aaron?
Dang it, shut up.
You said, I'm sure she'll come back.
She'll be back, bro. It's not over yet.
I know you hated on Lewis being gone and that you wanted him to be gone. You were tired of him, but seeing him really leave, how did it make you feel? Were you sad that he left?
Well, I mean, we don't know if he's gone.
Okay, but assuming this episode is not being suits and is telling us truth. You know, are you sad about that? Because I know you hated him for a while. You were tired of him.
I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted because I think that, yeah, I feel like I got an overdose of Lewis this season. And so it's like, I'm glad that we're not going to have that anymore. But at the same time, I'm sad that, first of all, he's really the only comic relief we have. So unless Harvey and Mike go back to their bromance and do funny stuff all the time, we just lost that.
Plus, see that as a possibility.
Yeah, so all the comic relief's gone, and that's also another character gone, which I've always felt like this show does not have enough characters. And it's cool because because of less characters, we flesh them all out more, but I don't know. I think we need, like, they could inject, like, 5 new characters, and the show would be fine, in my opinion. I just think we need more main characters. So that's not a good thing to me that he's gone now, because we have lost another character, and potentially we've lost Katrina too, because she was, you know, Lewis's associate. So unless she comes back as a major role for, like, helping Harvey or whatever,
yeah,
which I just don't see, you know, because they pretty much eliminated her from the show for a long time until she came back, and the only scenes she was in this whole season were just with Lewis.
Yeah,
so she's probably gone too. So it's just we're losing characters left and right, and I just have a feeling that he's probably not gone.
Well, at the same time, I understand why they gave us so much Lewis. It's to build up the sympathy for him and to say, it's just kind of to build it up to when it finally happens and he's let go or he resigns, that it actually means something to us. Because before this, Lewis didn't really have a plot arc. I mean, he did, but it was kind of secondary. With this season, we saw him like kind of a main character plot arc status. And I think that if we saw the episode titles and we had known a little bit about the plot, it would have been kind of obvious they were building him up to be gone, you know? Like, we see him and we learn so much about him. We see him establish relationships with Donna and then with Harvey, and he says he's proud of him. And then it's all supposed to make us really sad when he leaves because we learned what great of a guy he is. So I'm kind of embarrassed that I missed that because it was glaringly obvious now that I think back on it. But I'm with you. I will miss him, but I'll miss him in small doses. I'm glad we don't have Suits, Mike Harvey, and Lewis as the main characters now.
Well, like I said, I don't think he's gone.
Okay, but how could he come back?
Well, Mike came back.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a different situation. I mean, I guess he resigned. He can always get his job back, but Jessica's really against him.
Well, if Jessica is gone, then Harvey can do whatever he wants.
Very, very true.
Boom!
Bold prediction. Hashtag bold prediction.
I told you. Jessica is done.
Well, we have a few more things okay. real quick.
Hold on. What?
I was going to talk about Sean Cahill for a second.
Before we get there.
Okay.
This is going to be an intricate bold prediction that I'm about to make.
Okay.
In this episode, Lewis mentions an old foe. Do you know who I'm talking about? So, after the whole thing goes down with Cahill and Woodall, which we'll get to later, Harvey says, looks like Woodall's going to need a lawyer. And Lewis says he should call Daniel Hardman, takes a criminal to help a criminal or something like that.
Oh my God, no.
I feel like...
No.
No, just stop. Just let me say my whole thing. I feel like this is... I mean, they haven't talked about him all season. I feel like this is just like they just, you know, slip that in there just to say, hey, Daniel Hardman's still out there. So, this could throw a wrench in. Didn't he have to, like, sign something? He would never come back or something?
Hardman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he signed some kind of agreement. But, okay, I mean, it's law. And law, as I've learned from Suits, is full of loopholes.
Okay, yeah. So here's what my bold prediction is. Hardman will come back, and Hardman and Harvey will team up to overthrow Jessica and bring back Lewis.
I will be so mad. I am tired of Daniel Hardman.
He was only a bad guy for one season.
Two.
One.
Two.
He was not in season 3.
Yeah, but he was there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyways, I just don't like Daniel Hardman.
Okay, well.
I mean, I think that'd be a really cool bold prediction, but our bold predictions are notorious for being for having terrible track records. We have worse track records with bold predictions than the Falcons do with playoffs. So
you're right, though.
And just so you guys know, Aaron's a big Saints fan. So any Saints fans, you can tweet Aaron, talk about Saints stuff.
Yes. Okay.
Anyways, that's just for the Falcons reference for those that get it and why Aaron laughs so hard.
So the epic bold prediction, to summarize, they slipped Hardman in there because they're going to bring him back. And this thing that just happened with Lewis is going to be the rift for Harvey between him and Jessica. So Harvey's going to be like, I'm done with this, you know what. And he's going to see an opportunity when Hardman comes back, and he's going to seize control and use Hardman as his weapon. They're going to get rid of Jessica, and then Lewis will come back. And then Jessica's gone, and then I'll have that bold prediction and the one I made before about Jessica being gone both be right, and then our track record will be, I mean, that's still, right still there, like the Falcons. Right there, that's more playoff wins than they've had in the last 20 years, so we're good.
No, but I think that's a really real possibility. Only because, I only say this, because Jessica wanted to fire Lewis and Harvey stood up and said, no, I should be the one to do it. So we kind of establish in that moment that Harvey feels some kind of sympathy for him, you know?
Absolutely, for sure.
So that's why I think what you said is plausible. I don't know if it'll happen, but I can say if it happened, I wouldn't be surprised. But well, I just don't want Hardman back, man.
It's just too convenient that with all this going down, they just happen to finally mention Hardman again. You know, we haven't heard anything about him in pretty much two seasons.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what really makes me sad is Rick Hoffman, in my opinion, is the strongest actor of the group. Actress, actor of the group. I mean,
I don't know.
They're all good, but Harvey gives a stiff performance because that's who Harvey is, you know? And it's not the actor's fault. It's just Lewis is such a dynamic character, and I'm really surprised Rick Hoffman, if this really is the end of it, agreed to say, okay, I'm done with being Lewis Litt after 4 years. we've had a lot of interesting stuff with him this season. I mean, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner episode comes to mind.
For sure.
No, but I mean, I'm just to kind of sum it up, I'm really sad he's gone, but I don't hope he's gone. So, no.
Okay, so let's talk about the whole thing with the SEC because
we had to kind of go through a refresher course on why the SEC's there. I don't feel like that was really well explained other than the first 10 minutes of the first episode of the season.
It was well explained. You just, it's been like 10 weeks since then. You just don't remember. I will refresh for anybody that doesn't remember. At the end of season 3, Eric Woodall, who worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office, came after them because he just thinks that Harvey's a dirty lawyer and he wants to take them down.
Which he is a dirty
for
lawyer.
For anything. Yeah, he is. So that's when, you know, they haul Mike in and him and Lewis, or they haul Mike and Harold in, and Mike and Lewis, or dang it, Harvey and Lewis go and rescue them, and that's the end of the season. Well, Harvey ends up getting Eric Woodall fired, and Eric Woodall goes to work for the SEC. So Eric Woodall then sends one of his guys, Jeff Malone, after the firm, but Jeff Malone is in a relationship with Jessica. So he tells her, and then he says, okay, well, I will help you stop the SEC if you give me a job at your firm. So Jeff Malone comes over to their side, and nothing really happens. the SEC just says they're going to investigate them for the same kind of stuff. And then nothing really happens until all this stuff goes down with Mike and Harvey in their case, and then Cahill accuses them of collusion.
I wasn't so much confused about who they were or that Eric Woodall was behind it. I was just confused of their motives, and I got reminded this episode a lot of it. It's just pretty much he admitted himself. He was like, I'm just trying to get you on anything I can, and that's just why they're there. Yep. So he's just going to use the Security and Exchange Commission to try to find something on them, whether it's collusion, tax evasion, you know, the illegal trading, something.
What's weird to me about it all is that, like, I get Woodall wanting to do that, but why did Cahill fault, like, go with that so easily.
I think Cahill's just his attack dog, really.
Yeah, well, it's weird to me thinking that, like, basically his boss told him take them down for any reason, and he just did that. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think he used him because, as we saw in this episode, he's a pretty big force when it comes to taking people down. I mean,
yeah, for sure, he pretty much dominated
them. We saw him dominate Harvey and Jessica, which you got to put into perspective. They're the top lawyers in, like, the country. So
yeah, but he didn't really dominate them, really, because it wasn't their fault to begin with that all that stuff happened.
No, but Lewis. But I mean, for most people, Sean Cahill can. I mean, if he can take down Jessica and Harvey combined once or twice, he can probably take down most lawyers within, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah.
So I think he's definitely a big force. I'm really impressed by him as an antagonist now. I don't like his motives, and I don't like how he looks. He looks really weird. I know that's kind of shallow, but as a character, I think he's a really strong, powerful lawyer.
Well, he's probably gone.
Yeah, he probably is now. I say that and he's gone, but I definitely liked him.
I thought it was weird how, like, it all came to an abrupt end at the end. Like, Harvey just walks in, like, they go and they do all that stuff, and they pretty much, you know, deduce, like, little Nancy Drews, deduce that Woodall is in, you know, he's in cahoots with Forcement. And then they go in there, and they just accuse him of all that stuff, and then it's just over. Like, I don't know, it's just weird to me. Like, Harvey just goes into Jessica's office, and he's like, well, we just took care of it. I just don't feel like it would go down that easy. Like, is he really going to drop all that stuff because of that accusation? I mean, I guess. I mean, yeah, but I don't know. It's just weird to me.
One of the best comedy moments of the season is when Lewis goes to turn himself in, and pretty much they say, we don't really care about you. We want Harvey.
Well,
what a blow that must have been. Like, you're not important enough.
That's not really what they said, though.
No, but I mean, I was paraphrasing.
Maybe that's what he said, but what he really said was, oh, crap, we don't care about what you have to say because I'm in cahoots with Fortzman.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything against him. So that's why they just let him leave. It wasn't because he's little or anything.
No, but I mean, well, that's what they told him, which made me laugh. They're like, we don't want you. We want the big fish. And I was just... Just his reaction, like, oh, yeah, I just left.
Yeah.
And how Harvey asked him, he's like, so you committed to a federal crime, and they let you walk free. He's like, yeah, they just let me walk free. Just typical Lewis, you know?
What I thought was the funnier part of that whole thing was when Jessica was in Sean Cahill's office, and, Cahill just roasts her. And then at the end, he just, like, as an aside, just says, like, yeah, you're going to have to try harder than sending some guy named Lewis Lid with some fake made-up story. And her face is just like, what?
Could you imagine her face being like, Lewis is an idiot, but he thinks it's a fake story. Which I don't really get. It makes him seem kind of dumb because he knows $1 million is unaccounted for, and this guy just admits to it. He's like, nah, it's fine. Anyways. I don't know about Lewis. We can talk forever about it probably, but we need to move on to
Aaron's Lightning Round. Just in case we have any new listeners to the show, I'm going to explain real quick what Aaron's Lightning Round is. I'm going to throw out some phrases or sentences or words, and Nick's going to react to them instantly, like whatever I say, in relation to this episode specifically. So if I say Rachel's hair, he'll say, oh, well, Rachel's hair looked really good in this episode. So, and then at the end, Nick will react with, or he'll give me some things that he's thought of, if he has any, which he probably doesn't because his hair is really heavy and it weighs down his brain. So here
really,
we go.
It's because you pick the good questions and I'm left with your residual stuff whatever to talk okay about.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Donna throws Harvey, hiring Mike, into his face.
Well, you know, I would say I'm surprised, but it's Donna. She's assertive. She likes to stand up for herself and for other people. But I don't think, in recent memory at least, that she's ever done that to Harvey. I mean, it's not like they're fighting about it, but it was kind of one of those things where she said it, and Harvey turned around like quick. He's like, what'd you say? And she was like, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like...
Well, it's for me.
It's true.
Yeah, it was just weird to me because she's always been like, she's Team Mike. So it was just weird to me she would just say that. I don't know.
Yeah, she's always pro Harvey Mike. She's always pro hiring Mike. She likes Mike. I mean, even when they were on opposite sides of the field, she was still on good terms with Mike. I mean, she wasn't mad at him. So, yeah, it was kind of weird to see her throw that back in Harvey's face. But, I mean, I think it was a reality check that Harvey needed, just being honest.
All right, next up, Forsman is in bed with Eric Woodall.
You know, at first I really didn't buy it. When they're all in the office, it's Jessica, Harvey, Lewis, Mike. And they just kind of start saying things. They just start to piece it together in like 5 seconds. I was like, I don't know. It seems kind of out there, you know. So I'm not sure I bought it at first.
Well, it's crazy that they deduced that quick, and then they gambled everything on that.
I guess that's being a lawyer at Pearson's
like,
Vector.
As we're watching the show, like, it was obvious to us right there that that was what happened, because the whole episode, they were just like, we have no hope. And then suddenly they just deduce this, and it all makes sense. But I feel like in a real situation, that would just be, that's like grasping at straws. You know, like, they don't know what's in his bank account. They don't know if he's getting money. And they just went in there and handed Cahill the document that he needed to beat them. And if they were wrong, they're done right there.
Yeah. I think Pearson Spector is the type of firm that will go with his gut. And it goes for the fear thing. That if they, you know, like, we've seen several times where they beat someone to a lawsuit and it scares them. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to back off. You know, it's just what they do. But, yeah, I didn't buy it at first. I was like, this is kind of a risky thing to do. But, yeah.
Okay. Last one from me. Describe your feelings on the final scene.
Well, I'm not a crier, and I'm not going to cry at Suits, but I felt really sad. I was like, man, I can't believe this. It's just one of those things where you know it's coming, but you can't believe it when it's actually happening. You're like, wow, they really did that. But I thought the music, the cinematography, and the voiceover made for a really emotional scene. Probably last 2 minutes, and he starts talking about how he never really had a job, how he never had a job, I should say, other than Pearson Spector, and how they're his family, and, you know, that he would call them his parents. So, I mean, it was really sad to see him because, you know, we just know he's a lonely guy, and this is all he had, and Donnie even tells him that. And it was just really sad to see such a great guy, which we know as a great guy, just be gone for good.
I kind of wanted to tear up, like, the very last thing he said when he was like, as the elevator's closing, he says, take care of my home. I was like, oh, Lewis.
I know. It's just, that's why I think Rick Hoffman's the best actor they got on there. Not that they're weak, but he's just, there's just something about his voice and how, you know, we didn't really see him deliver the lines when he was doing the voiceover. It's a voiceover. And I could still feel the emotion in his face. Like, I can picture what his face was saying.
I had the same thing. When he was talking, it sounded like he was about to cry.
Like, I can just picture what his face was looking like as he was writing it. And I think that's great acting. That's great storytelling right there. But, yeah. Great. And, you know, we were talking about what it would be like if the episode ended with him getting escorted out in handcuffs. So, that wasn't really what happened, well, but it was similar.
Similar. Okay, one more thing. Quick reaction.
Okay.
That scene versus the one where Mike gets fired, and which one's better?
Some good parallels there. Mm-hmm. There's some good cinematography parallels with the elevator doors closing.
In the elevator, yeah.
Yep. It's some good stuff. See, Aaron hated cinematography at first, but he's picking up on it now. He's picking up on it. No, but I like Lewis's better just because I'm more connected to why he's leaving. I didn't really care Mike was leaving investment banking. I was happy because he's coming back to Pearson Spector. Okay. Whereas Lewis is leaving the show for assumed good.
Well, I agree with that, but I still think I like the Mike scene better. I feel like it was shot better in the music.
I like the music better in the Mike scene. The music
was better in the Mike scene.
But the voiceover wins me over, just being honest.
It was a good voiceover. And the camera angles, I think, were better. There wasn't really any, like, on the screen, other than the elevator door closing, there really wasn't any good shots in that. It was mostly...
Well, there was one where he is telling them that their names are on the wall for a reason. He's sitting there staring at Pearson Spector. Yeah. That was a good shot.
That was pretty good.
As a film nerd, I was like, oh my God, that's such a good shot. All right, well, I have a few, maybe one. You know, it's probably going to be one, so I'll just do one.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'm going to combine two little segments into one.
Whoa.
Next week's promo. What did Mike do?
Okay, I was thinking about this as soon as they showed us the promo. And the first thing that popped into my head was that and I don't think this is what happened, but this is just like the first deduction that I made. I feel like when Mike came back to the firm, he had some sort of other motive. You know, I don't know what it was, because I mean, he's definitely done with investment banking, but I don't know. I feel like he could have. I don't know.
I think they found Logan Sanders' dead body dumped in the dumped in the closest river.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, but
it's weird to me that they are like they pretty much just concluded the whole plot arc of the entire season, like right there with this episode, and there's one episode left. And suddenly they're just going to open a whole new thing that we don't know anything about. And that's what makes me think that it has to do with something that Mike brought over. Because I just don't think that they would, with one episode left before the summer finale, or one episode left before the summer season is over, that they would just come out and just change everything right there. Like open a whole new plot just for
one episode. To get us hooked to make sure we watch when it comes back, which we're gonna watch anyways, Aaron. Of course, that won't work for us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, you're right, but I don't. It's weird to me. I mean, that would just be really weird, a weird way to do it. So I feel like it's got to be a continuation of something that we've already seen.
Well, I'll tell you what my first reactions were. I had two theories that I had, which weren't really theories, but my first one was like you said that Mike is doing something behind their back. You know, like, he's getting access to files he's not supposed to. He has some kind of other motive up his sleeve. Or he's doing something to get Lewis back. Like, he did something, or he, you know, like, turned himself in, which he didn't do. But you know what I mean? Like, him kind of putting himself out on the line because Lewis did that for him. That one was, like, a below 5% chance that happened.
Well, I just...
So that's the first thing I thought of.
The way they were reacting in the episode, I just don't, like, I mean, in the preview, I just don't, because they were, like, pissed. I mean, I just feel like the promo held whatever happened, or whatever is happening, really close to the chest. Like, there's nothing you can deduce from it other than Mike did something.
Well, we also see Donna say, I'm worried about him. So I wonder what he's doing, if it's something dangerous or reckless. I mean, if we're going with what she's saying, what our theories were, our bad track record is nowhere near what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to really predict it.
Yeah, I've kind of give up on predictions.
Yeah, we never know what they're going to do.
So for all those that hate our bold predictions, you won't probably see too many because we're tired of being wrong. It's better than constantly losing like the Falcons, though. All right, do we have any Twitter questions, YouTube questions?
Well, we don't have any YouTube questions, but we do have a Twitter question, or we had one from at FufaB, and it was, well, sort of. And Fufa just asked if we thought that Lewis would be gone. I mean, I guess we did kind of talk about that, but we didn't really. Do you think that Lewis will be back? Like, yes or no for the show, not what you want. Do you think he'll be back? As a main character, not just like popping in.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't know if that contradicts what I said earlier, but I'm gonna retcon that and I'm gonna say yes, I think he'll be back.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go with my bold prediction about Hardman, and I think he'll be back. So we're both in the yes category. Okay. And we'll probably never see him again because we said that. Well, goodbye, Rick Hoffman.
No, but I think he'll be back. I mean, it's Lewis. We don't know a Suits without Lewis. He's been in every episode, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, if it means anything, I looked at Rick Hoffman's Twitter, and there was no sad goodbye on there, so.
Yeah, I mean, he could just be, like the first scene next week could be like, hey, Jessica, I was just kidding. I'm poor. Like, I need a job.
You're right.
Like, I can't afford my plays anymore, so I need a job, you know? But, I mean.
Well, hold on. I just thought of one more thing.
There's a lot of possibilities they can throw in with him not being a Pierce Inspector, but being a lawyer with knowledge.
What if he goes to another firm and they have to go against him?
That's what I was going to say next. And he can use the knowledge of Pierce Inspector and his rivalry with Harvey to kind of
get destroy the upper hand. Boom.
Maybe. But I think the focus isn't going to be Lewis next episode. It's going to be Mike.
Oh, I don't think it'll be next episode.
I mean, if they do it, it'll be like episode 16 right before season 5.
I agree.
So that we have to wait a year and have like season 5 discussion.
Yeah.
And make tons of bold predictions that are wrong again. Yeah. So.
Okay. So that was the only Twitter question that we had. We have not been active on Twitter lately. I'm sorry. I said I was going to do it and I haven't been. And that's my fault.
Yeah, we've been slacking really hard on Twitter.
But good news, we did break 100 followers.
We did. Woo! For real?
Yes.
I'm the guy that manages the Twitter, and I don't even know that.
That's because you don't actually do anything on the Twitter. Okay. So, we don't have anything else. As always, you can tweet us at Suits Talk. No, Suits Podcast. I'm sorry. At Suits Podcast.
See, I do know something as the producer.
Yeah, whatever. At Suits Podcast, you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/user/suitstalk. You can find us on Stitcher.
iTunes.
And you can follow my personal Twitter if you're interested in Saints football, at A Fat Greek Cat.
And if you love hearing my little two-sentence review of movies, I usually post them frequently. That's all I really tweet, so...
And that will be at NickLayman1992. You need to get a better one than that, bro.
At least I have one with my name in it. You don't have at Aaron Moncrief. Some other guy that hasn't used it for years has it. How does it make you feel?
I know, I'm pissed.
All right, well.
That's all we've got. We will be back next week for the summer finale. I'm your host, Aaron. And as always, I'm joined by Nick, who has way too much hair.
The swoopy hair.
Well, it's not really swoopy.
It's spiky today.
But anyways, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Good night.
All right. Final lightning round question. The Falcons.
How do you expect me not to say anything explicit? No, I can't do that. Their owner looks like a mafia boss. Their team is terrible. Their best wide receiver can't even walk.
But
their quarterback is named after the worst beer on the planet.
But you watch Hard Knocks Falcons.
Yeah.
Because you love football.
Because it's literally comedy how bad they are.
It's like spying.
No, it's comedy.
It's like espionage. It's comedy.
They're terrible. Okay. 0-16.